Going to anyway, exactly. Well, we are on week 7 of our 2 to 3 week look at maturity. So, but we are going to wrap it up today, and we'll dive back into Ephesians 4 next week. Now, if you remember where this began, it's a side trip really that spawns out of Paul's statement in Ephesians 4 that he's given these gifts to the church to bring them up to maturity, to bring them to a place that God intends for them to be, and to that will bring great life to them and to their community. And so the last 7 weeks, we have been looking at what maturity looks like. And we've been looking at it through some materials called The Life Model by Dr. Jim Wilder and others. And in the Life Model material, they describe 5 stages: the infant, child, adult, parent, and elder. And again, there's no place in Scripture that says, "Thus saith the Lord," there are 5 stages of maturity. But I think every one of these stages we see in different ways in Scripture. And we see teachings directly related to those. And so what we've been doing is looking at what these stages are, what we need in order to achieve those, you know, what our needs are at each of those stages, and what the tasks that God's calling us to learn in each of those stages. And so just as a reminder and to kind of set the stage for today, the first stage, the infant, has a primary goal. The primary purpose is that an infant receives, learns, and lives through joy. A child develops an individual identity. They begin to discover who they are. They discover who I am in Christ. They discover who I am and what makes me different from others. Okay? The adult maturity level develops a group identity. It's where you begin to understand who you are and who my people are. It's where you begin to understand this is, excuse me, this is who I am, even when things go haywire, but also in the context of community and group. The parent gives sacrificially to their children, and that's what we looked at last week. But then this morning, we're going to look at the elder level maturity. And the task or the primary purpose of the elder is to grow his or her community. And it's critical to note as we begin this that elder level maturity, at least acting on it and fulfilling the role of elder, cannot happen until the youngest child in the house reaches adult level maturity and or has left the home. And just a side note, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the needs and tasks of elders, in part because I'm just not there yet, so it doesn't make full sense to me either, if that makes sense. Okay, but I think it is good to get a picture of looking forward at what's ahead for us, all right? And so the needs for an elder are several things. First of all, an elder needs a community to call their own. You cannot shepherd, you cannot elder others in isolation. You need a community that you are a part of that God is calling you to lead. But then secondly, you need recognition by their community. And by recognition, I don't mean recognition in the sense of, oh, aren't you wonderful, elder so-and-so. I mean recognition just in the sense of those in the community recognize the fact that you are at elder level maturity and they lean upon you for that. Okay? A third place is that they need a proper place in the community structure. And what I mean by that is that they need a place, they need their role fairly clearly defined. They need for those in their community to know that they are there to help, that they are there to serve, that they are there to parent and to grow those up who are behind them who are needing help in these arenas. And then finally, they need others to place their trust in him or her. And this is where it gets, well, in fact, we'll talk in a little bit about what happens when someone moves into roles of eldering before they're ready. But when someone is genuinely in an elder level of maturity, there are powerful things that take place in the realm of reparenting, in the realm of healing, in the realm of building a community when elders are functioning this way and the people in their community are willing to trust them in those ways. The tasks of the elder First of all, is Jim Wilder lists hospitality as the first task. In his book, Living with Men, and well, let me backtrack for a minute. When I mean hospitality here, I'm not talking about just a generic gift of hospitality. You know, we've all been to someone's house at some point, and everything was just wonderful, and you just felt at ease, and there was this great comfort of, wow, this is a great place to visit. Okay? That is a gift of hospitality. But what we're talking about here is a much deeper level of hospitality. We're talking about, for example, Jim gives several examples of both him and then others who have brought wounded, broken people into their home to live with them, to be reparented in many ways, to be loved on until they could be loved through many of their wounds. And that's what we're talking about here of hospitality. We're talking about a deep involvement in other people's lives that goes much beyond what we typically think of in discipleship models in the church. Okay? Second task of an elder level of maturity is giving life to the family list. All right, I'm not 100% sure that family list is a word, but Jim used it, so will I. And I think it describes this well. You know, we have many people in our ministry, in our recovery ministry, and even in this church, who have little to no family. Or maybe the family they have is so dysfunctional that it makes things even worse every time they're around them. Well, guess what those people need so desperately? They need family. They need people who will love on them in the deep places, in the incredibly broken places. And so one of the elder level tasks is giving life to those without families, to those who are on their own. Okay? It also, next task is being a parent for the community itself. Okay, you can do some levels of spiritual adoption prior to being at elder level maturity with individuals. But you cannot parent a community until you are in the elder level stage. Because parenting a community is incredibly difficult. And you know, that's one of the inherent struggles that I've faced since I was 25. And what I mean by that is since I was 25, I have been the primary preacher for the churches I've been involved in. But what you need to understand in that is that while I've been the primary teacher and preacher, I've not been in a place to be the parent of the community. I certainly have significant roles, but I've not yet been in a place where I could parent and take care of those needs. And yet, in the ideal situation, one of the most wonderful things we can have is a community that has elders who are working on that, who are parenting the community. The next task is to maintain their community's identity. One of the inherent struggles in every community is remembering who we are. And what I mean by that is there are always lots more opportunities for things that we could do, for focuses we could have, for ministry that we could have, than you could ever do. And so one of the tasks of elders is keeping a clear picture of God's direction for the community and helping the community stay on that direction, to maintain the identity of who God has called us to be. And with that, very closely connected, the next task is to still act like himself or herself in the midst of difficulty. Have you ever noticed that in every community, whether it be a Kiwanis Club, a Boy Scouts troop, or a church, that invariably when you deal with people, what always comes up? Problems. Miscommunications. Disagreements. There are always going to be very difficult things that happen. Well, guess what often happens in the midst of conflict and difficulty? What often happens is that people lose the ability to be themselves. They become focused on power. They become focused on winning. They become focused on getting their way. Well, an elder instead will stay themselves even when everyone around them is, you know, I want to say de-evolving, and that's probably not a great word, but you know, that's just when everybody else is coming apart, an elder's task is to be themselves in the midst of crazy places. Next task for the elder is to enjoy what God placed in each and every one. And what I mean by that is that one of the real difficult things in life, but especially in ministry and churches and stuff, is to allow the gifts that are often very different to have their unique expressions. It's real easy. Well, the typical thing that we do in most churches and most situations is that pastors and churches develop an identity that's really focused primarily around the lead person's personality. And if you fit into that direction, then you can work well. But if, let's say, your gifts and your inclinations and stuff are outside that narrow sphere, but they're still from God, they're still gifted, guess what? Well, then you rock the boat too much. It's too complicated. You've missed the vision, etc., etc. And so you are excluded, you are pushed away. But a true elder recognizes each and every one's individual gifts and the gift of the group as a whole, and is able to work within that realm in ways that benefit the whole community and others that the community touches. Okay? And then the last task of the elder, and then we'll kind of come full circle and start talking about what happens when we try to elder too soon, and then what it means to move forward in our own maturity. The last task of the elder is to build the trust of others through the elder's own transparency and spontaneity. I think a good expression of that is to recognize that true elders have no problem with you seeing their warts. And that helps us very clearly see when someone is leading who is not an elder. And what I mean by that is that in most circles, one of the most terrifying things for any leader to do is be honest about themselves. You know, 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son Jesus purifies us from all unrighteousness." And I would say that is probably one of the least practiced verses in all church leadership, at least in the American culture that I've been a part of. Because in our culture, in our mindset, we've created this idea that leaders have it together, that leaders have it figured out. And so as a result of that, they're always having to present a certain image. Well, guess what that does for those underneath them? It just continues to foster that wrong concept that really boils down to Pharisaism, that says it's more important how I look on the outside than what's really going on the inside. And as we move into true elder-level maturity, guess what? We can begin to be more and more transparent, and guess why? Well, because we know who we are. More importantly, we know whose we are. And we know very clearly that it isn't based upon my getting it right, but it's based upon the work of Jesus Christ having fully justified me and being in the process of sanctifying me. And much of it also is because of the community. And, you know, I'll just tell you right up front that I am incredibly grateful to be in a community where I cannot have it together sometimes. And I will tell you that even though intellectually I know that, I still feel the pressure many times to pretend, to look a certain way, even when things aren't that way. But I want to just affirm to you as my community that I understand that comes from me, not from you. But a task of elder-level maturity is building trust with others by being willing to be open and honest about our own struggles, our own faux pas, our own history, etc., etc. And so those are the needs and the tasks of elders. And like I said, we weren't going to get bogged down on them like we did all the other stages. But what I want to do now is I want to talk for just a minute about the results of people of taking on elder roles too soon. And we, if you've spent any time in churches, if you've spent any time in healing communities, you have undoubtedly seen evidences of these. The first one is the damage to his or her own children through neglect. You know, there's reasons why, you know, if you think of the passages in Scripture about elders and about some people call them qualifications. I prefer to look at them as the characteristics of elders. One of the things that's mentioned very clearly is having believing children. And I think a big part of that is not as much about whether or not they've, you know, accurately taught their children the faith, as it is as much as their children being at a place where they can stand on their own two feet faith-wise, so that when you step into the role of eldering, you don't end up leaving your children behind and doing great harm to them. Not too long ago, I had a man in our recovery ministry, young man, whose church had approached him about him being an elder. And he called me up and he said, "Can we talk about this? There's just something about it that just doesn't seem right. I've told them no, but they keep telling me how much they need me, and I'm just really struggling with this." And my first thought was, wait a second. You have a 4-year-old and a new baby. You have absolutely no business taking on that role. Now, granted, he may have been one of the most qualified member in their community for leading. And he is a man, you know, he's a young man I believe in very strongly. But when we step into those roles, it is really easy to end up neglecting our children. Because the demands and needs of others always seem more urgent. You know, the reality is when you lead people, when you work, especially with those who are broke, you know, who are openly broken and hurting, there is always an emergency. You know, I talked a little bit about this last week. That's one of the real struggles for me in my role, you know, in counseling and preaching and being here at New Hope, is that there's always an emergency. There's always someone hurting greatly that I could and many times do step into their lives. But my first responsibility, I believe, from my Heavenly Father is to be the father to my children that He wants me to be. And that's really difficult when you take on the role of elder too soon. Very closely connected to that is that many times it brings great damage to his or her marriage. They've not arrived at a place yet where they are fully confident and secure in their relationship. And so when they go into eldering and caring for others behind them, then it often brings a great toll on their relationships. Jim Wilder, in his book, The Red Dragon Cast Down, he talks quite at length about the struggles that came to his marriage because of Jim stepping into some of these roles and going into some spiritual fathering and reparenting of some individuals and the challenges that came in there. And so it's a place to be very careful. Another result is that it can be damage to his or her church or community. When you try to lead as an elder and shepherd a community before you're ready, guess what? Not only do you do damage to your own family, but many times you do damage to the church or community. Most of you in here, I know enough of your stories to know that many of you, if not most of you, have been deeply hurt in church contexts before. You've been deeply hurt by pastors, elders, church leaders who were caught up in their own agendas, their own kingdom building, their own struggles, and as a result, have responded to you, or at times crushed you, in ways that if you step back and look, you just have to shake your head and just say, are you telling me that that happened at church? And yet it happens over and over and over again. And one of the main reasons is because individuals and people put them are like my friend that was trying to be forced into that role, or for others who claim that role and step into it because they like the attention, they like the power, et cetera, way too early. And the result is that it does great damage. Sometimes it brings great damage to his or her family by introducing dangerous people into his or her home. Okay, Jim talks quite a bit about some different families he knew who brought broken, wounded people into their household, who ended up then sexually abusing their children because they tried to, their hearts were good, their desire was to minister and to help these people who are hurting and broken, but they were moving too early into those roles. Their children were not old enough to protect themselves. Their children were not old enough to be in those places that they could stand on their own two feet. Ironically, it also many times damages the wounded, lonely people who need help. Okay, well, think about what happens. If you are wounded, lonely, and need help, and someone offers to be this role for you, and you go to them and you receive their help and you try to learn from them, and then they end up harming you, what does that do to your willingness to invest yourself when a real elder comes along?